Thank you. Thank you. Okay, today we are looking at chapter 14 of 1 Samuel, and we are looking at the first part of chapter 14. We are looking at the first part, which is 23 verses of 1 Samuel 14. And the theme here is Jonathan defeats the Philistines. Our study for today looks at the faith and courage of Jonathan in attacking the guard post of the Philistines with his armor bearer. Through faith in the Lord and courage, they were able to overcome the Philistines. Joshua chapter 1 verses says, "Be strong and be of good courage, for unto these people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them." This victory set the stage for Saul and his forces of 600 men who had remained with him, together with the Israelites who had fled the impending battle with the Philistines, to join Jonathan to fight and gain the victory over the Philistines. To be able to understand the spiritual significance of today's study, we need to look at the previous study to understand the context. As we saw in the previous study, it was only Saul and Jonathan among the people of Israel who were equipped to fight the Philistines. At that time, all the people of Israel did not have swords or spears to engage the Philistines in a battle, as they were deprived by the Philistines from possessing such weapons of war. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19 to 22. Now, there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, "Lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears." But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his quarter and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattock and for the quarters and for the forks and for the axes and to sharpen the goats. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. The smith in these verses above represents the Lord's elect, what every joint supplies in the body of Christ. The fact that there was no one in Israel with sword or spear, except Saul and Jonathan, implies that the people of Israel at that time signifies the church system of this world or Babylon, where we are not given the truth of the Lord's word to fight our flesh or the Philistines in our lives. Ephesians 4:16 says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Saul and Jonathan therefore denotes our time in the churches of this world or Babylon as the Lord's elect. It is in Babylon that we cannot sing the Lord's song in a strange land, which means that we cannot worship the Lord acceptably during our time in Babylon, as we do not have the truth of the word to combat our flesh. Psalm 137, verse 3 and 4 says, "For there, they that carried us away captive requires us of a song. They that wasted us requires of us myth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Our situation in Babylon was such that it was impossible to have the weapons, that is the truth of the Lord's word, needed to battle our flesh or the Philistines. This was because we were ruled by our flesh when we were in Babylon, and this dominion shows itself in the love of the world. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22 says, "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." That was our situation where we were in Babylon. Okay, so let's start with Jonathan's courageous acts in 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 1. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he told not his father. As indicated, Jonathan sacrificed the Lord's elect whilst we were in the churches of this world or Babylon. It is important to note that while we were in Babylon, we did win some victories over the flesh or the Philistines, as we see Jonathan ready to engage the Philistines. The armor bearer denotes all those whom the Lord brings our way to help or encourage us with our walk with Christ. Saul, Jonathan's father, being the king of Israel, he signifies the leadership of the church system of this world. Remember that Jonathan in the previous chapter was rejected by the Lord for not waiting for Samuel, as he chose to offer the burnt offering, which was the prerogative of Saul, of Samuel, a priest of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 13 and 14. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandments of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue, for the Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." Jonathan not telling Saul about his decision to attack the garrison of the Philistines is to let us know that the victories over the flesh that we won in Babylon were not because of the leadership of the church system of this world, but because of the leadings of the Lord, since he has chosen us in him before the foundation of this world. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 6. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. 1 Samuel 14, 2 and 3. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiel, the son of Ahithab, Achabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. The 600 men with Saul in verse 2 represent the Lord's elect. We must remember that initially, the number of those who assembled to fight the Philistines were 3,000. That's in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 2. Saul chose the 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Mishmash and the Mount and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. However, many left because of the fear of the Philistines, and only 600 remained. Those who left felt that they could not win the war with our flesh or the Philistines. Judges chapter 18, verse 11 says, this is just to show us that the 600 men represents the Lord's elect. And they went from there of the family of the Danites, out of Zorah and out of Eshcol, 600 appointed with weapons of war. 1 Samuel 27, 2 says, and David arose and he passed over with the 600 that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. It is instructive to note that the 600 men were with Saul at Gibeah, which means hill. As we have indicated in many previous studies, hill or mountain, on a positive note, represents a church. The fact that the 600 men tarried at Migron, which means precipice, which is a steep or overhanging rock, such as a high cliff. Migron, or Migron, therefore spiritually signifies a dangerous, perilous, or highly unstable situation, which is the description of the church system of this world or Babylon. Therefore, what we are being told is that we, at a certain point of our walk with Christ, were in Babylon. And it is here in Babylon that we started engaging the flesh or the Philistines. The mention of Ahab, of the descendant of Eli, wearing an ephod as a priest with a company of Saul and the 600 men in verse 3 is to emphasize the point that the Lord's elect, represented by the 600 men, were in Babylonian captivity, where the law of Moses still prevailed. As we are aware, it is when faith comes that we are no longer under the schoolmaster of the law of Moses, which is still being practiced in the church system of this world. Galatians 3, 23 to 25. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The fact that the people did not know that Jonathan was gone to confront the Philistines in verse 3 is to let us know that the church system of this world is not aware of the fact that the Lord has a special people or his elect represented by Jonathan who are overcoming the flesh in this age. Romans chapter 11, verse 4 and 5. But what says the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 700 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. 1 Samuel 4, chapter 14, verse 4 and 5. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozes, and the one of the other, Senna. The forefront of the one was situated northward over against Mishmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. In order to confront or wage war successfully with our flesh, we need to overcome two things. That is the sharp rock on one side called Bezos or at Bezos, and another rock on the other side called Senna. Bezos means shining or surpassing white. In the negative context, the color white means leprous. 2 Kings 5, 27. The leprosy therefore of Naaman should cleave unto him and unto thy seed forever. For he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Our flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of the Lord. And therefore, when we are under the domain of our flesh, it is like having an incurable disease of leprosy, which makes our skin or flesh as white as snow. The first thing Jonathan did was to overcome this mentality that we cannot win the war against our flesh. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped this beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him. But here, if we are to wage war and win successfully, then we must know that we can indeed wage war with the flesh. The name of the other sharp rock was Senna, which means thorny, which spiritually signifies false doctrines. Our flesh is empowered by the false doctrines in our hearts and mind. If we are to wage a successful war with our flesh, then the false doctrines in our heavens must be removed. The more the false doctrines in our heavens are removed, the more successful we become in our engagement with the flesh. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6 says, "And thou son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their sharp rock at words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." This is to show us that thorns and these things is about false doctrines. In verse 5, we are told that the sharp rock called Bezos was facing Michmash, which means hidden. This shows us that the leprous state of our flesh is hidden. It's hidden to many. It's only the elect that we come to see, that we are given to see our leprous state. The other rock, Senna, facing Gibeah, which means hell, shows us that it is in the church of the Lord's elect that the false doctrines in our heavens are destroyed through what every joint supplies. First Samuel chapter 14, verse 6 and 7. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few." And his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thy heart. Tend thee, behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." This instructive in verse 6 to note that Jonathan referred to the Philistines as uncircumcised. This is to show us that when we are under the control of our flesh, then we are spiritually uncircumcised. Jonathan's statement that there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few is to assure us that no matter the circumstance in which we find ourselves, the Lord is able to do exceedingly beyond what we can think or imagine. Ephesians 3:20 and 1 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." As indicated earlier, the armor bearer represents our brothers and sisters whom the Lord brings our way to help us with our walk with Christ. The armor bearer statement in verse 7 that Jonathan should do all that is in his heart and that he was very supportive of Jonathan's action is to let us know how we are to encourage brothers and sisters to reach for the prize of the Lord's higher calling. Some of our brothers and sisters are given that gift of encouraging us to strive for mastery. In the Bible, Barnabas, whose name means son of encouragement, was very instrumental in helping establish Paul's ministry. He welcomed Paul when other disciples were afraid of him and advocated for him. He encouraged John Mark after he failed in his missionary journey, showing a commitment to picking others up. He was a very generous man, selling his field and bringing the money to the church. Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. And Jesus, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 8 to 12. Then said Jonathan, "Behold, we will pass over unto these people, and we will discover ourselves unto them. And if they say this unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will listen. Stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say this, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord has delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us." And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the host where they had hid themselves." And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us, and we will show you a thing." And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel." These verses show us how we are to deal with our flesh, denoted here as the Philistines. If we are to wait for our flesh to come to us, that means the flesh gradually, like many people think that, oh, as long as you are in the church, the flesh naturally goes away. No. Means the flesh gradually is losing its hold on us as over time as we continue to worship the Lord. That is not how it works. We may never become the overcomers that we dream of. Many in the church system of this world think that by continuing doing good, the flesh just disappears. If we are to win the war against our flesh, then we must take the fight to our flesh. Just as Jonathan realized that the Lord's will was for him to engage the Philistines, that's our flesh, and that it is through this fight that victory is won. This does not mean that we have the strength of our own to war against the flesh. It is all the work of the Lord to make us overcomers over the flesh. However, we must constantly weigh our thoughts and motives in the light of the Lord's word to see if we are falling short as we continue to cry to the Lord to change us. The Lord's tool of destroying our flesh is through his judgment of our flesh. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Isaiah 26, verse 8 and 9. "Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is in thy name, is to thy name, and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." 1 Samuel 14, 13 to 15. "And Jonathan climbed up with his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan. And his armor bearer slew after him. And that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, an acre, a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plow. And there was trembling in the host in the field and among all the people, the garrison and the spoilers. And they all trembled and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling." In verse 13, Jonathan and his armor bearer climbed up the precipice with their hands and feet to confront the Philistines. Climbing up with our hands and feet means that the word of the Lord becomes a light to our feet and a light onto our path. In other words, we begin to order our lives according to the word of the Lord, said that it permeates our walk with Christ, that is our feet, and the works of our hands. That is our hands. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." As shown in verse 13, the Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer's drawn sword to slay them. Let me say it again. As shown in verse 13, the Philistines fell before Jonathan and his armor bearers drew sword to slay them. This emphasizes the fact that our victory over the flesh is not by our strength. It is the work of the Lord as he judges us such that our walk with him and the works of our hands are in line with his word. Psalm 91, verse 9 to 12. "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. For he shall give his angel charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. It is insightful to note that the first slaughter by Jonathan and his armor bearer against the Philistines consisted of 20 men in verse 14. This brings us to the negative application of the number 20. In a negative sense, the number 20 means being prepared for judgment. Our initial victory over the flesh is the Lord preparing us for his judgment to subdue our flesh as he causes our exit from Babylon. Genesis chapter 18, verse 31. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. That's where we get the idea of the number, the negative application of the number 20. The first strike by Jonathan and his armor bearer was within half an acre of land. In the biblical times, an acre was not a fixed size, but represented the amount of land a yoke of oxen could plow in a day. Half an acre, therefore, indicates a very small space. Killing 20 armed men in such a restricted space, therefore, highlights the miraculous nature of our victory over the flesh. The sight of so many bodies in such a small area caused the rest of the Philistine army to believe they were being attacked by a much larger force, leading to massive panic, as shown in verse 15. This implies that our initial victories over certain areas of our walk with Christ makes it easier for us to win further victories over the flesh. On the other hand, when we are defeated, it empowers our flesh to overcome us easily. A Bible verse which supports this assertion is as follows. 1 Samuel 17:37. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the power of the lion, from the power of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So a victory over David's victory over the lion and the bear makes it easier for him to overcome the Philistines, or our flesh. Coming to 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 16 to 17. And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on beating down one another. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. The fact that the camp noticed that Jonathan and his armor bearer were absent, and that they may have been responsible for the confusion among the Philistines, is to let us know that in the fullness of time, our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world, together with the whole of humanity, will come to appreciate the victory that the Lord has wrought on our behalf as his elect. It is during this time that they will all come to know that their salvation is dependent upon our victory. Obadiah 1:21 says, and saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Israel, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the sons of God. 1 Samuel 14, 18 and 19. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring here the ark of God. For the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said to the priest, withdraw thy hand. A better translation of verse 19 is as follows. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 19. Saul was talking to Ahijah, the priest, waiting for advice from God. But the noise and confusion in the Philistines' camp was growing and growing, and Saul was becoming impatient. Finally, he said to Ahijah the priest, "That's enough. Put your hand down and stop praying." That is the ER version of the Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 19, again in another version, says, in the Good News Bible, it says, as Saul was speaking to the priest, the confusion in the Philistines' camp kept getting worse. So Saul said to him, "There is no time to consult the Lord." When the church system of this world or Babylon come to see who really are the overcomers or the sons of the Lord, they will abandon their way of worship, as symbolized by Saul telling Ahijah, the priest, in verse 19, to stop praying, or to stop consulting the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 20 to 23. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, and even they also tend to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel who had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Bethaven. Every man's sword being against his fellow in the camp of the Philistines is to show us that the battle against our flesh is the work of the Lord, who brought confusion among the Philistines to slaughter one another. In this battle against our flesh, we are to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord as he destroys our flesh through the sufferings that we go through. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall behold thy peace." Saul and the 600 men with him, together with all the men of Israel who had hid themselves from the Philistines, joined the battle as they followed after the Philistines when they realized that the Philistines were fleeing. This is to let us know that in the fullness of time, during the lake of fire age, all humanity will have victory over the flesh, being led to victory by the overcomers in this age, that is the Lord's elect, who are symbolized by Jonathan and his armor bearer. The elects are the saviors who will come and judge Mount Esau, or the people of the world, to bring salvation to all humanity. Again, Obadiah 1:21 says, "And saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." The battle being passed over to Bethaven is to let us know that the church system of this world, or Babylon, will be the last on the line to be saved from their flesh or carnal mind. This is because Bethaven, which means house of vanity, represents the church system of this world, or Babylon. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 55. "When thy sisters, Sodom and her daughters, shall return to their former estates, and Samaria and her daughters shall return to their former estates, then thou and thy daughters shall return to your former estates." We thank the Lord for this privilege to overcome the flesh in this age. Amen.